Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hearst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
The Bible tells us that Israel could not go into the promised land because of fear. Can I tell you this? God calls fear unbelief. We know it as a spirit of fear, but God says when you allow the spirit of fear authority over your mind and your judgment and your life and your future, he says you have a spirit of unbelief. Why? Folks, because he took the children of Israel out of Egypt to take them to the promised land. He brought them to the wilderness and gave them miracles. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw food. They saw water come out of a rock. They saw all these miracles. And then they got right to the border and said, we can't go in. Why? Because they're giants. Huh? What about the Red Sea? What about water from the rock? What about the quail that came out of nowhere and they came about just this far so you could grab them and eat? What about all the miracles? See, you think I'm talking about Israel. I'm talking about you. Where God has brought you from. What about the miracles he's done in your life? What about the times he has made a way over and over and over again for you? And because the spirit of fear comes and places doubt about what you can do and what you can accomplish, you're paralyzed. Not accomplishing all that God says you can have. Not receiving and doing all that God says you can do. This was Israel's dilemma. But listen to what God said. And I'm going to say it again. Fear to God is unbelief. Because again, the Bible says with God, all things are possible. God takes it personal when you are too afraid to trust him. In Hebrews 3:19, it says, so we see that they could not enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. God wants you to take authority over the spirit of fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:17 that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love and a sound mind. The word power there in the original language means divine power. It means ability, might, miraculous power and strength. It's talking about the same power Jesus had to defeat the devil. The Bible says in Acts 10:13, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's the same, but power and love and a sound mind that God has given you. That same power. You have power to defeat the enemy. You need to rebuke the spirit of fear. That spirit that is trying to immobilize you from the success that God has promised your life. I'm going to begin this now, and we'll see how far we can get into it, because another of the devil's secret hindrances to our success are generational curses. It's a subject we have to talk about, because most people are not aware of this hindrance in their life. Folks, a curse is an invisible barrier to success. It's a barrier to your blessing, your spiritual freedom, and your healing. But there is an evil force behind it. Some people don't believe in curses. It's interesting to hear those who are Christian leaders say they don't believe in curses. It's in the Bible. But let's talk about the subject. How do curses actually occur? The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 26:2 that an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. In other words, curses don't just come into being. There's a reason why a curse will come. Let's talk about some of those reasons. Disobedience to God's word can place a curse upon a person. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 27 and 26. Cursed is anyone who does not affirm the terms of God's commandments by obeying them. Now, this is a controversial subject, folks, because people would hate to think that if I disobey God, that means I'm opening the door to a curse on my life. If you believe the Bible, that's exactly what it says. And folks, listen. The influence of a curse will pursue you if it's not broken in the name of Jesus. Also, that curse will follow your children and your descendants. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 45. All these curses shall pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed because you refuse to listen to the Lord your God. And then it says in verse 46, these horrors shall befall you and your descendants. There are invisible forces at work when we talk about curses. There are evil influences that attack through the doors left open in our lives by sin and disobeying God. Now listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes 10 and 8. It says, he that digs a pit shall fall in it, and whoever breaks a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. See, curses are established by either your personal disobedience to God or the sins of an ancestor who never repented for the sins that they did against God. I want to read it to you from the Bible in Deuteronomy 11 and 26. We're talking about personal disobedience. Today, I'm giving you the choice, listen, of a blessing or a curse. You'll be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God today that I'm giving you, or you'll be cursed if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God. That's your obedience or disobedience to God. You'll be blessed or you will be cursed for disobedience. Now, let's go on about ancestors. In Numbers 14 and 18, the Lord said that the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generations, where there is no repentance. Judgment will follow. It's important for you to understand that God is not sending a curse upon them, people. These are evil spirits that exist. And as we all know, many times there are things that follow down through generations, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, of bad behavior and things that are negative in families. That's what the scripture is talking about. It goes from generation to generation because we're talking about spiritual matters. We're talking about evil spirits that have caused disobedience and caused these events to take place in the lives of people. Now, I've had people say to me in the past, you know what, Pastor? Once you pray to break a generational curse, it will stay broken. Why do you have to preach about it again? Well, number one, we preach about these things over and over again because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Secondly, some people are only hearing it for the first time. But for those of you who have heard this before, let me add something to it. Even after a curse is broken, a spirit will inspect a life to see if it can return. Let me give it to you in the Bible. In Matthew 12 and 43, it says, when an unclean spirit leaves a person, curses occur because of evil spirits. It says it goes through dry places, looking for rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept and in order. Now, when it's saying empty, swept and in order, it's really talking about a person who did not continue to pursue a life of filling themselves with the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, and living for God. they find that it's an empty house, empty of God, empty of his presence, empty of his word, empty of obedience to God. Goes on to say in verse 45, then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they all enter the person and they all live there. And so that person is worse off than he was before. Folks, please understand, since a curse is the effect of a spiritual entity, although it leaves, it will always attempt to return. So even when you've been delivered from a generational curse, don't think that those symptoms will not try to return. It's an entity. It's a spirit. It's coming back to check out your life. It's coming back to check out your serve, how you're serving God. It's checking your obedience to God. Because remember, disobedience does what? It opens the door to a curse. It opens the door to an evil spirit to torment your life.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Thanks for listening to the program today. I want to read one of my favorite scripture verses to you. It's Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. It says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future filled with hope. Then you will call upon me and go to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Now, inherited or generational curses continue from one generation to the next because, like I said, evil spirits, unless they are bound and cast out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there are families who suffer defeat in their lives from generation to generation, and some of the symptoms are poverty, addictions, sickness, imprisonment, alcoholism, even divorce. The sins of the parents are repeated in the children. Folks, do not accept a symptom of some disease just because the doctor says you have it or a relative had it. And I'm just using this as an example because there is a spirit of infirmity. That spirit of infirmity is many times a generational curse. Now, many of these curses that I'm going to be talking about really are found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses of 15 to 68. So you can read them all at some other time. When we talk about the symptoms of a curse, an ongoing cycle of trouble may indicate the presence of a curse. And again, I'm just using for an example, chronic illness and disease, frequent sickness in a family. See, the doctors actually have picked up on this, and insurance companies, and that's why they always want to know your family history. See, because it's connected. They'll ask, is there any heart disease in your family? Any kidney failure? Any high blood pressure? The word heredity means the genetic transmission of characteristics from parent to offspring. And this occurs physically, but it also occurs spiritually because of generational curses. For example, there was a 54-year-old study that solidified the link between a parent's high blood pressure and the chances that their children will develop this significant risk factor for cardiovascular disease. A family history of hypertension is well established as a warning sign. Researchers estimate that 35 to 65% of high blood pressure is inherited. Many times when people are examined in the doctor's office, even though the doctor finds no other reason for the symptom of the illness other than a genetic or generational disposition, the doctor will say, you've got this because it's inherited in your life. How many people who are as small as a stick, they're very, very thin, have diabetes? You say, well, how can that be? What are we talking about? Individuals who take care of themselves and have always taken care of themselves, who jog frequently and eat the right food and everything, how can they have high blood pressure? What are we talking about? So you have to understand, folks, that many times what doctors call something that is genetic, that's passed on, is really a generational curse. Not always, but many times, probably more than we know. Now, the Bible talks about how even articles can be something that can carry a curse upon it. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because as we started our study, we talked about the success of Joshua. You remember God said, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I will be with you. You will have nothing but supernatural success. But it didn't happen that way. The Bible says that the Jordan River, it opened for Joshua, and the people went across, and in their first encounter with foreign people in Jericho, they had a wonderful victory. The Bible says that the walls of Jericho fell down flat and every person just stepped up over them and went in, and they got success. But when they got to a place called Ai, all of a sudden what God had promised did not come to pass. Joshua chapter 7 and 1, it says, but the children of Israel committed trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan took of the accursed things, so that the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now, I'm going to say it again. God had promised that he would never lose a battle, that he would always have success. Yet the Bible tells us when he said, that is Joshua, well, this is just a little skirmish. We're going to go through them. We're not going to take most of the army. Just take a few minutes. It says they were beaten so badly, and men were actually killed. And Joshua was perplexed. He said, God, you promised I would only have success. What's going on? Now listen to what the Lord said. Joshua's on his knees, and he's crying out to God about this in verse 10. And the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have stolen and deceived, and they have also put them among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because, listen, they have become doomed to destruction. God said, I will not be with you anymore until you get rid of the cursed things. Verse 13 says, neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed things that are among you. This man named Achan had stolen something that was cursed. And as a result of that, the entire nation was cursed. God said, I'll never be with you until you get rid of it. What was the accursed thing? In verse 20, it says, Achan, when he stood before Joshua, he said, I have sinned against the Lord God, and this is what I've done. I saw the spoils, among the spoils, a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, weighing of 50 shekels of gold, and I coveted them, so I took them. He had taken clothing and money. He took jewelry, and he took other things that God had said, don't don't take these things because they're cursed. I remember one time my wife and I were visited by a young woman that we had known for most of her life. She was in a relationship with a young man, and she was trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but for some reason she just really couldn't receive the baptism. And the Holy Spirit said to me, tell her to get rid of everything that young man gave her in that relationship. So I told her, and she said, really? Because he had given her some really nice things. But she wasn't in the relationship anymore. She had repented and given her entire life to God, and now she wanted more of God through the Holy Spirit, but nothing was happening as she was praying. And so as she got rid of everything that the young man had given her, immediately the Holy Spirit came and filled her. Folks, listen, the subject of curses is real. And a curse can prevent you from the success that God wants you to have. And not just you, but remember that it can pass on to your children. How can you break that curse? How can you come against that curse? I'm glad you asked. Folks, the way we come against generational curses is number one, we need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. You say, well, I am a Christian and I've been living my life for God in obedience. Repent for your ancestors. You say, well, that's really strange. Well, when Daniel was in Babylon, in captivity, he asked God, why are we still in captivity when the Bible says that now we should be free out of this captivity? There was a certain amount of time. And God explained it to him, and then Daniel began to pray regarding the sins of his fathers. As a result of that, God moved, and there was a change. God will allow you to pray and ask for forgiveness for the sins of your ancestors, and he will honor that. Do you want to know why? Because God is a God of eternity, and he will forgive them on your behalf. So what we do is we must pray and we must repent. Listen, if you're not born again, the first thing you need to do is to be born again. You need to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord to break any curse of disobedience off of your life. You need to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior verbally as well. And then you need to confess Christ has set you free from that curse. The Bible says in Genesis 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus Christ died on the cross to release us from every type of curse that there is. So you see, you can be free today from any generational curse upon you. Your children can be set free as you pray for them and with them.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We're so grateful for your continued support and listenership. If you've been blessed by our ministry, we humbly ask that you consider helping us keep this daily broadcast on the air by making a donation. Your contribution will make all the difference. To give, simply visit our website at aplacetogrow.org. Every gift helps us continue spreading the message of hope and encouragement. May God richly bless you, and we look forward to being with you again tomorrow. The title of today's message is Hindrances to Supernatural Success. This is part two. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for a brand new year, a brand new start, a brand new opportunity to serve you. Lord, we thank you because you don't think about our sins from the past. You are full of mercy. You are gracious. You're slow to anger. And Lord, we just thank you that your word says, as far as the east is from the west, you have removed our sins from us. In fact, as a father pities his children, you pity those who reverence you. And so we surrender ourselves to you this year,
We are looking for the best year of our lives. And we trust you for it. And we thank you for what you're about to do for us in this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.